Today's passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the very beginning piece. So please listen to these words, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of them that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." A story that many of us are familiar with as we think about what happened on that first Easter morn. As I spoke earlier this morning at sunrise service, one of the things that I recognize many times is us Baptists, we tend to focus on the cross and how important the cross is and what happened on the cross and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. I always want to make sure that we continue the story, though, because the story doesn't end at the cross with a dead Savior. The story continues on. 3 days later, we have a resurrected Savior, one who lives, one who has victory over death, one who brings us that life. So if you're a traditional Baptist and you talk just about the cross, make sure you continue the story when you talk about it. Because there's lots of organizations around the world that have dead leaders. But we have one who's alive. Amen? Amen. And that's all the more important to recognize the fact that we have the only religion with a living Savior. The rest of them all have a tomb that they can go to and see somebody. We have a living Savior. I can't imagine what it was like for them, though, because the possibility of what happened was kind of outside the realm of thinking in their day. It wasn't expected. Even though scriptures had talked about it was going to happen, even though Jesus pronounced time and time again to his disciples, "It will happen. I will be put to death, and I will resurrect again, and I will be alive." They had a hard time thinking about that. So I really wonder what it was like for them. These two ladies, Mary and Mary, go to the tomb. They're going to the tomb to see the place where he has been buried. They're going to the tomb to remember all the hopes and great wishes that they had that were going to be fulfilled by this one who lays inside this tomb. That's what they were hoping. They're going there and they're remembering their lost dreams. I don't know about you. Have you ever lost a loved one in your life that then turned into now you've lost some dreams for what might have happened, what might have gone on? I think all of us know that feeling, don't we? But in this case, here's one who comes and says, great, impossible, incredible things are going to happen, and now he's gone. I can't imagine what it was like for them. And it says that they go to the tomb that day, and as they start to arrive at the tomb, there's guards that have been posted there in the Gospel of Matthew. And those guards are posted there because some of the Jewish leaders asked Pontius Pilate to do that. His disciples said that he's going to be resurrected in 3 days. Can we place guards there so that no one can steal the body and say he's resurrected? So the guards are there, and it says as the women start to approach the tomb, an angel comes down, a violent earthquake happens, and the stone is rolled away, and the angel's sitting on top of the stone, and it says all the guards are laying on the ground like a bunch of dead men. Now I want you to put yourself in that place. Put yourself in that place. Would that not be scary? It's easy for us to look back and say, well, we know why it's done. It was done for this reason, and here's all the reasons, and here's all the whys, and here's all the... But imagine being right there, and all of a sudden that stone starts moving, and the earth is quaking. What would you do? What exactly would happen for you? If you're not scared when that happens, I think you need to have a little check done. Because I think I'd be scared. There's not many things that scare me, but for an earthquake to happen and that stone start to move and an angel sit on top of the stone. Think about that for a minute. These women have gone there to remember the lost dreams, things that are not going to happen now because the Savior is gone. So with a violent earthquake, an angel opens the tomb to show them Jesus has risen. Now, here's an important thing. The stone is not rolled away so that Jesus can get out. He's already left. The stone is rolled away so that people could see that it's empty. That he is no longer there. Now we have some other gospel stories that give us more information, but I'm just going to stick with this one today. The angel says what to the women? The angel says, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. But now, the most exciting thing I think that is said first is what? Do not be afraid. That's one of the very first things. I hope you realize that angels are not the creatures that we see on Hallmark cards. They're not plump little babies in a diaper with wings and a halo. Angels are messengers of God. They're guards of God. They are ones who are, by their very presence, very scary. In all of Scripture, they are. And every time one appears, the very first thing that it says is, do not be afraid. Check yourself. Don't be afraid. It's okay. And part of that comes from, I'm not holy enough to stand in the presence of this holiness. So I'm going to die. I can't stand here. And the angel says, no, it's okay. I've rolled the stone away so that you can see he is not here. He has risen just as he said he would. That's why the stone was rolled away. And by the way, it was the characteristics of the stone were large enough that it was not going to be just a couple of people that moved that stone. And it fit kind of in a groove. And once they buried a body there, the stone was kind of take the wedge out and let the stone roll into its place. And now to move it is something takes great force. That's why there was a violent earthquake, because it took so much force to move it. Now, it says something important about the women. The women, afraid yet joyful, run to tell the disciples that it has happened just as Jesus said. I want to recognize, these women were afraid, just as we would be if we were there. They were afraid, but they were excited. They were joyful. They were passionate about what they just learned about, and it says that they start running to go tell the disciples. I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, about the 8th verse, where I think most appropriately the gospel should be ended, because the ending part of Mark is not in every manuscript and not in the earliest manuscripts. And where it's ended in the Gospel of Mark, it says the women were afraid to go tell. And there ends the whole Gospel of Mark. They were afraid. But we know they must have gotten over that, because they did tell somebody, right? Because we have their stories. So they came to a place where they could tell, and Matthew tells it that way. They're afraid of telling the story. They're afraid of telling what has happened. But yet it says that they're running to tell the disciples, and the message in the Gospel of Matthew is, go and meet me in where? Galilee, not Jerusalem. Go and meet me in Galilee. Well, the women start running, and off they go, and they're ready to go and tell. Imagine what happens next. It says all of a sudden, Jesus is right there and stops them. All of a sudden. Part of me wonders, why does that part happen? You see, the angels already told them. They're excited about what has happened. And then all of a sudden it says they were suddenly stopped by Jesus with a message for the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And part of me wants to say, there's no additional information here, is there? The angel has already told them to go tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And they're running to go do what they're supposed to do, and Jesus stops them. And basically tells them the same message. Go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. You know, I think it was needed for him to be there. They not only needed to see that the tomb was empty, but they needed to see him walking around living. And it just reinforces the message. Can you imagine how excited they are now? They were excited to find out the tomb was empty. But now, here is Jesus right in front of them. And he says, hey, by the way, go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. Can you imagine how much more excited they were now? Because not only do they know the tomb is empty, but now they know that Jesus is alive and has been right there in front of them. Can you imagine the story when they run to the disciples? I'm kind of imagining they're having a hard time getting the story out. Or both of them are talking at the same time. Now, notice I didn't say they were women, so they were talking at the same time. Both of them were so excited, I think, that they're both talking at the same time, trying to get the story out. Yeah, an angel told us. Yeah, we saw him, and he told us, can you imagine the excitement of that? And I guess maybe sometimes I want to ask, where's our excitement? because Jesus is risen. Where's our excitement? Does it exist here anywhere? Are you excited that Jesus Christ is risen?
Amen.
I mean, shouldn't we be living that excitement not just within these walls? I mean, I know we're Baptist, and Baptists are supposed to be quiet during worship service. You don't participate. You let the preacher do everything. That's not true of all Baptists, by the way. I would give, some days I would give anything to go back and preach at the Baptist church, the Black Baptist church in South Hill. Gosh, I always had fun there. You talk about people that were alive. There was no question that people were alive. There was no question that they were excited about Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. Never had that question. Wonder what it would be like if we did the same here. What a day. Amen. I mean, I know that there's an understanding, and many of you have been brought up, that to be respectful in church, which means to be quiet, which means not to make a loud noise, not to allow your hands to participate while you sing. Amen? Is that the way it is here? Do you think these women were that contained? Do you think they were that contained? And they said, let's be respectful and quiet. I don't think they were that contained at all. And when we've got the only religion with a Savior that came back from the death, why are we not out there telling people? Why are we not out there being excited about that? And saying, do you not realize this? The tomb was empty. And we ran to tell the disciples, and then he met us right there. That's an incredible fact, isn't it? That's something that we should be excited about. Now, Jerry, I'm not looking to turn them into a bunch of Pentecostals. Many of you know Jerry came from the Pentecostal church, and we've been teaching him how to be a Baptist-costal. Calm him down a little bit. I happen to accept Christ in a Pentecostal holiness church. And there were lots of things going on in that church service that night that scared me. Lots of things. No, they didn't have snakes. You're probably thinking that. Take that one out. They didn't have snakes. But there were lots of things that scared me. But that's where I came forward to accept Jesus Christ. And part of it was because people were alive. And they were excited about what Jesus had done. And these women come and they run to tell the disciples after getting the same message twice. They run to come to the disciples to tell them he wants to meet with you. And he wants you to travel from Jerusalem to from Jerusalem to Galilee. I'll get there yet. I went the wrong direction. Go. Take a journey, get where you need to so you can meet him too. Can you imagine what these women were saying? What are you doing still sitting here? Get up and go. He wants to meet you. He's ready to meet you in Galilee. Why are you sitting here questioning it? Because one of the Gospels tells me they didn't believe the women. They didn't believe him. Would you, if somebody came running to you? Peter and John definitely didn't believe. we're going to run and look ourselves. You women just made up a story. And they found out the tomb was empty. I want to tell you something. Jesus wants to meet everyone to show them God has victory over death. Jesus wants to meet everyone to show them that God has victory over death. So I want to ask you this question. If that's the case, are you journeying to where you can meet Jesus? Have you moved to the place where Jesus wants to meet you? Now, I know many of you are going to tell me, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As long as I've walked with the Lord always wants to meet me more and help me to go deeper. The Lord right now is asking you to meet Him at a certain spot. I don't know what that spot might be for you, but I want to ask you, are you sitting and waiting? Or are you moving toward that spot? Are you trying to get there so that you can meet the Lord that wants to talk to you and show you that God has victory over death? It's not just forgiveness of sins. It's not just salvation. It is also victory over death. Death for me as a Christian, I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm not scared of it. Now, maybe the moment it happens, I might have some fear. But at this moment right now, I'm not scared of death. Because death is nothing more than a doorway that I walk through to the rest of life. That's all it is. It's a doorway I walk through. And now I'm in God's presence for all eternity. In a way that I can see it and know it. Not that I'm not in God's presence now. Are you traveling to the place where Jesus wants to meet you for a deeper relationship? For me, that's part of the story of the resurrection. The story doesn't end at the cross. The story doesn't end at the tomb that's empty. The story ends when you pass through the doorway of death. That's when the story ends. There's no, are we there yet? I know none of you ever heard that in the car. None of you ever have heard that from the back seat. Are we there yet? But I do want to ask you, are you at the place where Jesus wants to meet you? Do you know where that place is? And have you been there to talk with Jesus? To find out what the continuing journey is for those of you that already know Him. There have been many times in my life, and one time one of my seminary professors helped me to really understand this. I went off on a trip, and when I came back, God had met me in a tremendous way on my trip. And it had overwhelmed me. And my professor looked at me and said, "You had another conversion experience, didn't you?" And as soon as he used that word, I was like, "That's exactly what happened. I had another conversion experience," to go even a step deeper. And I'm asking you, are you looking for that new experience? Even if it may be fearful? Are you looking for it? Are you traveling to the place where Jesus wants to meet you? Are you making time for Jesus to meet you? Are you setting things aside so that Jesus can meet with you? If I had had the opportunity 2 years ago when I was in England And for just some unknown reason, I got an invitation to go sit down with the king. Oh, sorry, king. Well, there's all these places. We're only here for 2 weeks, and there's all these places that I want to go to while I'm here in the UK. We're going to go to Stonehenge and Bletchley Park. We're going to go up the Shard, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. I don't have time to meet with you. How many times do we tell Jesus the same? I've got this, that, or the other to do. I don't have time to meet with you today. Let me get through what today is, and tomorrow I will. And what happens tomorrow? Same thing. Have you moved to the place where Jesus wants to meet you for a deeper relationship? That applies to everybody here. Have you moved to that place? Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we only think about coming to you once and meeting you as our Lord and Savior. Sometimes we only think about the need to do that one time. But the truth is, Lord, you want to meet us in every moment of every day. And sometimes we're just too busy to do that. These women had come to the tomb just to mourn and be sad about their lost dreams. And their story was completely changed that day. I wonder how many times we've missed the messenger that has a new message for us, because we've already planned out our time. Lord, help us to slow down and to journey to the place that we can meet with you, no matter how many times we've met you before. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.